Hello and welcome to Beheaded.
Welcome to Season 5, Episode 5.
I'm Megan Moore.
And I'm Elizabeth Black.
I kind of like that. Season 5, Episode 5.
5-5. Yeah. It's like when you see 11-11 on the clock, you make a wish.
5's a lucky number.
Isn't it? Like, what does it represent? Does it represent anything?
Because,
like, historically, 3's lucky because it's like the Trinity.
Yeah, actually, that's what I was thinking. I think 3 is okay. The 333.
And 4's lucky because it's like seasons and wholeness. And
I don't know, I like 5.
5's a good number.
5 golden rings.
What does it remind? Five. That's the best one.
Golden rings.
I've seen a lot of like memes this year about the 12 days of Christmas and like, why are there so many fucking birds?
I have two. It is true. That song, I remember as a kid, it always confused me.
You're like, why do I want all these birds and humans? Why are you gifting me humans?
What are these pipers piping and these maids a milking?
I don't need the ladies dancing for me. Thank you.
They must have been very rich. Maybe like a Henry VIII status.
Yeah. That's what I thought of as I got older. Like, do they have one of these just vast houses that employs so many people? Like, here's all these like maids a milking and ladies dancing and pipers piping.
Birds are singing.
Yeah. The only thing I want is the golden rings. Like,
the only good gift they really showed up with.
You keep the rest. I'll take a couple swans and some golden rings.
It does make me think, though, when like Henry would just sit in his throne room and they would line up and they would each present their gift to him during the Yuletide. And he'd be like, yes, keep it on. And then he'd be like, oh, kind of like that. Okay, next one.
Sir Henry, I bring to you 3 French hens. Uh-huh, yeah. Cook them up.
Oh, that's funny. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's been a while.
I know. We were apart. Sad face. Tear. We were apart for the holidays, so it's nice to reconnect and recap everything. You went to California.
Yeah, I went back home.
I was in New Jersey. Yay.
Very far away from each other.
I know. We couldn't get any further away in the U.S.
We were with each other in thoughts.
In spirit.
In text messages.
In mind.
In memes and GIFs and Instagram stories that we shared.
Exactly. She shared with me our 2023 Wrapped, which is all the stats that we had from Beheaded in 2023. And we were very happy about everything. I was come a long way.
I was mildly surprised. I want to give us credit.
No.
Because I think early on in the podcast, I was really obsessed with looking at the metrics a lot.
We both were.
And then it kind of gets like discouraging for anyone out there who is trying to start a podcast or, you know, it's slow moving. It really is.
Well, I will say, I think you start off, everyone who starts one, you start off a bit hotter than you think you will be. Because you really truly are like, it's going to be me, Megan, my mom, the dog that listened.
Yeah.
You're like, nobody's going to listen.
Yeah.
So I remember the first day we launched our first episode, you were texting me throughout the entire day. And you're like, oh my gosh, we have like 50 downloads. We have 60 downloads. We have 100 downloads.
Yeah.
And so I remember that first day being like euphoric because I was like,
this is it.
I was like, there's 100 people. Like there's 100 people that'll listen on the first day of the first episode.
Yeah.
And then it does get discouraging because you kind of plateau of like once your first episode gets 100 or 200 listens, you're like, oh, well, obviously next episode is going to get 400. Then we're going to have 1,000.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and when it doesn't do that and it's just like, oh, the next episode only got 300.
It's people who are interested and then they're like, God, these people suck. and then they don't come back. And that happens. And we take it and I know I've said this again and again, and whenever people are like, oh my gosh, your podcast, I want to listen. I'm always like, don't listen to the first couple episodes.
They're not that bad. I know you don't like them.
I'm very self-conscious of them.
I like them because they're like origin stories.
Sure. It tells a story of how far we've come, for sure.
And, you know, we didn't really understand the structure of our episodes for a few episodes. Mm-mm. Like, you know, we just thought, oh, we're just going to talk about the execution, and that's kind of it. Whereas now we know to unpack, again, like, the story of the person and a bit of the context. Because we've had so many episodes, we connect them to, like, other things that have happened in history.
Sure.
So, like, we've come a long way in that regard, and it took us just a few episodes to figure that out.
Yeah, and our organization overall.
Yeah.
I know that I still have the habit of like jumping in and I try to contain myself, but we were all over the place. It was like, and then this, and oh wait, and that. And of course we still do that.
We still do that.
But we do try to kind of, you know, early life. And then, like, we kind of try to segment up their life into chapters.
Right.
To go back and forth.
Yeah. And going back to our recap of 2023, we are in the top 25% of all podcasts, which is very exciting. Because, again, I know it's not like, oh, we're top, you know, 1%. But that doesn't matter to us. I mean, the fact that we're in the upper-ish echelon, like, we've been doing this for a while. We have some avid fans. We've interviewed some, like, fairly famous historians. Like, we've kind of
That was big for 2023. Yeah. It was really cool to kind of look at that time lapse. Hey, and we have mics.
We have mics now.
For the – but can we fix yours? Because I feel like it's rubbing on your neck.
Oh, or do you feel it
rubbing?
I do not.
I'm going to move it down just a little, if that's okay.
Rub me more.
Okay. Yeah, because then – this is new for us.
Okay.
I don't know if I should call out our flaws or not. Like, we're trying to just be careful with our new setup. Mm-hmm. I completely recognize in the last episode, we got a little bangy on the table. But, you know, we live and we learn and we try different things out. So thanks for bearing with us.
Yeah. No, we're introducing video this season. We got these new wireless mic thingies on us. You know,
here we are. We are all mic'd and hooked and technologically put together.
We're getting a little bit better all the time.
Our camera is currently being held up by volumes, 7, 1, and 4 of Harry Potter.
It's okay.
5 was a little bit too large. We didn't need Order of the Phoenix, but, you know, we've got Charlotte.
Charlotte. We talked about Charlotte.
Meet Charlotte. I don't remember
what episode we talked about Charlotte, our lady pirate who hangs on the wall of Megan's, like, study. Now she's here. If you're on the YouTube, she's right behind us. You can see her. She's beautiful.
She is for those who are not watching YouTube, shame on you. At least take a look. If you're curious. I know you're curious.
Yeah. Maybe we don't describe it.
Yeah. If you want to know what Charlotte looks like, you got to tune in to YouTube. Just look up Beheaded Podcast. It's linked on our Instagram.
If you like the way she looks, you give her a quick like.
She's very sexy.
Yeah. And we added, like, pearls. Mm. We added some pearls to the frame. Not frame. There's no frame. But you'll have to understand what that means if you look at the...
We're so mysterious. Look at us.
Anyway, and really quick other note. Well, we'll talk about holidays a tiny bit more before we get into it. But I am drinking and Megan is not because dry January for her. For me, it's very much
It's a normal Thursday.
Damp Thursday. I don't really do the dry anything, but, you know.
I'm in the period of negotiation with myself.
Yeah.
Because I Elizabeth and I were chatting before how we want to see the new Mean Girls now this weekend.
Obviously, yes.
You know, we're big Mean Girls fans. I am very offended in the trailer how it says not your mother's Mean Girls. Like,
that kind of, okay, I'm sorry.
We the moms?
Well, that movie came out in 2005. So that's only 19 years.
It was earlier than 2005. There's no, I was in.
No, it was 2005. I remember.
Was it?
Oh, I remember.
Because I remember seeing it with my friend Kelsey. And
you were probably a freshman or sophomore.
No, I think I remember I had my Dooney and Burke colored purse because I was a little spoiled California brat.
Gross.
And I had that when I was 14. And I remember I saw it with her dad.
Yeah.
As like a let's look.
I know it's 2005 because I saw it 3 times in theaters.
I believe you. 2004.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, that's 2024. Just kidding.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Just Google original Mean Girls.
Wow, now I search Mean Girls and it's just the new one.
Okay, it does say 2004.
Same thing. I was 4. I only know that because
the theatrical release was 2005 because I remember this year very vividly. No, I remember I saw it once in high school with my cheerleader friends. And I saw it once in high school with my boyfriend. And then I saw it another time with my sister and mom. And so I was, like, so into Mean Girls. It was, like, I think I was going into my junior year of high school. And it was, like, that was...
Yeah, that's appropriate. It did come out in the summer. I think I was between 8th grade and 9th grade.
So I guess because it was 04.
Because I was... this is how I know the way that my age works. Mm-hmm. In 2004, I was 14.
Okay.
Right now, it's 2024. I'm 34. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always worked out well for me. Age with my...
All right. Then I was...
It makes math so easy for me when I'm trying to figure out how old I was.
Then I was 15. Going on 16.
Oh, God. Anywho. I'm straying. So we wanted to go see the new Mean Girls.
Yes.
And I'm like, God, that sounds like such a fun day because we have the day off from work. It's a holiday coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Our significant others do not, which is the perfect opportunity to, like, go have some lunch,
yes,
day drink a little bit, watch Mean Girls. I was like, dang it. I gotta be sober.
She has to be dry. I'm telling her to be a little damp.
So I'm trying to negotiate with myself, like, okay, what if I do 2 weeks now, and then 2 weeks, I'll add on
this
a week
is your
afterwards.
Rule. Just make your own rules.
No, I'm
man.
Competing with my husband, so I don't want him to win, and I don't want him to pull this out on me later. Mm-hmm. So the only other option I have is to sabotage him first.
Oh,
by leaving trails of cold beer around the house.
Like one frozen pint glass sitting
yes.
in the middle of the table.
Yes.
You know, with ice cold beer in it.
With a cheeseburger next to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like a slider and a chicken wing.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like just enough. Mm.
If he's listening to this, then the jig is up.
He literally is in that room.
We hear him, I heard that, from the next room.
He bangs on the door.
Dang it. Anyways, I don't know why. I do this to myself to prove I have discipline.
You also do it because, not to sound like bigger drunks, but like, so that way when you start drinking again, it's more impactful.
Like, there's a lot of benefits.
Kind of restart, like, oh, one glass of wine gets me pretty dizzy.
I wish. Well, the thing is we're all there. Like, after the holidays, it's also my husband's birthday on January 3rd. So yeah. It's like, it's holidays, it's birthday, it's going out, it's traveling, it's seeing the family. It's all of that. It's the presents, it's the food. So it's kind of like we're dried up yeah. on everything. So
yeah.
by not drinking, we're saving money. There's really no, like, we're not. When we go out to eat, if we do go out, like, we're trying not to go out that much, but if we do, it's like water's all around.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of sparkling water, like the soda water with lime.
That's true. That feels like a cocktail sometimes.
Doesn't feel like a cocktail, but yeah.
You know, in your hand. yeah, and I understand that. When I was in New Jersey, we did, because again, Robbie's traditional Italian, so it's yeah. like we did Feast of the Seven Fishes and Midnight Sausage and Peppers and like everything in New Jersey is food.
And wine.
Yeah,
wine.
And the red wine, you know, and his family loves whiskey. It's funny because I knew his dad loved whiskey, and so does Robbie. I love whiskey, but like the whole family, literally every present that was given was like a bottle of Basil Hayden. Like
that's
it was just
funny.
Like
here's just your pass whiskey. It all around.
It was
just
like no
take
one
take it and pass it to the left.
Yeah, and I was like, I was so impressed with the number of old fashions I saw. So you get to a point where you can't even feel tipsy anymore because you're like, I'm just perpetually like just have liquor in me.
Maybe. Maybe we should be doing Dry January.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, for me, it's just a whole month of, like, I have to go extreme. So mm-hmm. for me this month, I'm so cliche. I get it. It's gym. It's eating healthy. It's all yeah. of that. But I think I should give myself Martin Luther King Jr. Day to watch Mean Girls and appreciate.
What a way to honor Dr. King.
That came out worse than I thought it did, but it's a bank holiday.
I get
for
what
us.
You're saying, it's, but yes,
we get work off.
And I will say, those of you who are observing strict New Year's resolutions, just remember to be kind to yourself because it's not all about restriction.
Yes,
you know,
it's all or nothing. If
it's
you
not,
if you flinch, you're done
not.
For the whole year, and then just
I have
fuck it, just go down the path of sin after that.
There is a lovely lady I work with. I won't disclose her name in case she would like her privacy, but she actually came up with this really cute idea of her and her friends are – their New Year's resolution is to eat as many pasta varieties as they can. So they literally are keeping track all year. They have like a shared Google
Doc. This.
And they're just keeping track of like, oh, I ate like rigatoni and fusilli and linguine.
That's cute.
And it's like a cute little thing that they do. And then they exchange like, where did you eat
Be
it?
Be kind
and
to yourself.
Like, yeah, it's like it's not about like negative self-talk. It's about like how can we still like enjoy each other, enjoy the new year and like make this fun?
Me, I'm just like
– Megan's like – no carbs.
Yeah,
no
I'm like
sugar.
I'm only eating salmon lean chicken breast and vegetables. I wake up at 5 and I – no, I don't.
And I
don't
go to the gym.
Actually, that's what Elizabeth does. You do wake up at 5 and go to the gym like a psycho. I wake up right before I have to work, which is up in this room.
And you know here. I'm not a morning person.
Like, you that are is not a morning not person. A I have thing seen for me. You in the – you don't talk in the morning.
I don't like to speak. I'm very grumpy in the morning. I'm like borderline like – trigger warning, like suicidal in the morning. Oh. Like, I'm angry.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm like mad in the morning. Every morning.
I just knew, like, when, I mean, like, we've spent enough mornings together.
You've seen me in the morning.
Not to make that sound weird, but like, okay, like, for example, we just went to London and shared a room, obviously, with each other.
Yeah.
I just know until it's that moment of like walking out the door and you're out in the air, you'll start talking.
Yeah.
But while you're getting ready, like, once you get up to the point when you're blow drying your hair or whatever,
I can't do it.
Just like, she wants her peace. That's fine.
I can't. I don't know why. And it's not you. It's anyone. It's my mother. It's my family. It's Robbie. It's everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, I just can't have a lighthearted conversation in the morning. I have to just be like, we're awake. If we need to talk, it's on a need to talk basis. Like, like, hey, are you using this? Hey, are you going in the shower first? Like, I need those types of conversations. Mm-hmm. Once I'm showered and like ready-ish and like it's time to get ready, I'm like, okay, now I'm awake. I'm alive. But God,
I've learned not to take it the wrong way.
Don't take it personal ever.
And then I have to laugh like at my home, like when Jake and I wake up, typically the very first thing, like it could be like a nice Sunday morning and like sleeping in and the sun is shining. And he'll just be like, Megan, can we call? We need to call the bank today to ask about. Like, it's always, it goes straight into there. Okay, this is the running joke.
I would die.
This is so I work in customer support. I hate calling 800 numbers. I help run a call center. Like,
right.
Whatever. I don't know what it is, but my husband loves to call 800 numbers for everything. Like, it'll just be like, I'll just give them a call and just make sure. I'm like, no, you can look it up right here. Like, just pull it up on the app. And he's like, no, I'm just going to call and make sure. I'm like, they don't want to talk to you either.
He's like,
and he's so nice when he calls in. He's like, hey, good morning.
He's like the commercials of like how to not become your parents, you know?
That's my husband. And it'll be like, and I'll be sleeping and then I'll like roll over and I'll hear him. I'm just looking here at my account. I'm like, oh God, it's starting. Yeah. Anyways, I love him for it. And thank God because he gets things done. He wakes up. And I know it's because he's laying there and probably thinking about it or going at night and thinking about things like, oh, I should do that in the morning. And he just gets it done. I procrastinate and I put it down the road, but
yeah.
Anywho, enough about that. We just did 20 minutes of talking about I don't know what.
We talked about holidays and morning routines and important.
And dry January, which sucks. And I think if I give myself a day off and add 3 days to the end, that's a good negotiation.
Again, whatever you want to do, honey. It's you. It's your goals.
I want to drink Cosmos and watch Mean Girls.
We're going to do it. Stay tuned for live updates. Anyway,
oh God. All right.
This episode is not about sobriety.
We have a theme here. There's on a the theme. Table for our YouTube watchers.
YouTubers, you see things like an old pistol and a little pineapple hat, top hat, stem. Charlotte in the background who looks like a pirate-ess. Because today is about Calico Jack, who is an infamous pirate.
We have a pirate hat. It was almost scary how much pirate stuff I conveniently had just laying around my house. Yeah,
these are not props, people. These are things that Megan owns.
We rent fair. My husband goes as a pirate every year, so he just started pulling everything out. Dinner, we had Caribbean jerk chicken with coconut rice and some pineapple salsa. Mm-hmm. And we did allow Jake, my husband, to sit and join us for dinner, but he had to wear the pirate hat, which he very happily obliged to do so.
He did.
So we had a nice little theme going on this evening.
Exactly. So we haven't done a pirate since season one. We're in season five now.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember us actively having a conversation of like, what other pirates are, you know, infamous for being executed? And we really couldn't think of that many, which is weird because there's tons of pirate executions.
Well, like, I don't know of any pirates who lived to like a ripe old age.
Well, Calico Jack
died peacefully in their bed.
Spoiler alert, did not.
That's not a thing for pirates. Yeah. They either died in battle or they were executed. So
right.
We definitely found a good one.
So we love this one especially, and we'll get into this further in the episode, but it's not just about him. He mm-hmm. also has two other people, we'll call them.
Bonnie lasses.
Perhaps, who come into the story later. So this is also kind of a female-oriented story in the age, like the golden age of piracy in the Caribbean. So
I actually didn't realize that was the period of time they called it. What was it? Between like... It was like 1680 to 1750 or something like that.
I think it was a little bit earlier, like maybe 1650 to like 1720 okay. or 30.
The reason I like this story is yeah. because, I mean, obviously, like the first thing you think of is Captain Jack, Calico right. Jack.
Yeah.
And while we did do William Kidd, he was more so like a Bostonian and British pirate.
Yes.
But this is a true like Pirates of the Caribbean.
He, I think like Captain Jack Sparrow was kind of based
I think
on
was.
This character.
I, he had to. Like, obviously, I know that Johnny Depp took his own liberties and mm-hmm. used Keith Richards and all of that as inspiration to create Jack Sparrow. Mm-hmm. But Calico Jack is your cliche Caribbean pirate.
Yeah.
And I love it. So I'll let you start.
And in a way, kind
it.
Of a bad pirate, which we'll get into as not, well.
Not a great pirate.
But you have heard of him.
Or if you have not, you will after this episode.
Exactly. All right. So Calico Jack. So Calico Jack was actually born John Rackham. In England. So, and Rackham, whatever.
Rackham good, Rackham stack'em,
bop'em. You know our twist pronunciations.
It. Bop pull it.
Twist it, pull it. So again, like most folks who don't really come from a noble background, we don't know a ton about his early life or his upbringing, but we first hear about him in about 1718 when he's the quartermaster for a ship called the Ranger. Mm-hmm. And the Ranger is captained by a legendary pirate in his own right named Charles Vane. So Charles Vane is very infamous, very ruthless. He's sailing around the Caribbean at this time. He's in terms of the Caribbean geography, he's specifically in the Bahamas. And he's in this place, it's called New Providence Island, that is known as the Pirates' Republic. So it's almost like this weird safe haven for pirates. Like, if you don't really belong anywhere else in the Caribbean, you can kind of go here, like, maybe, you know, drop anchor, or maybe have a small shack, or whatever you want to do on the island.
Little
but
community of
a tiny,
pirates.
Tiny community of pirates.
Little
yeah,
club.
Right, right. And so England at this time too had their eye on the Caribbean because obviously they're sending all these merchant ships, they're sending new people to like populate the lands, and they're like, we're not really sure what to do about this pirate thing because
there's a bit of a ruffian situation happening here.
So they're just kind of letting it happen right now because they don't know again what yeah. to do. This is new.
And kind of the cool thing that we learned about, too, was just because of the timing. And this mm-hmm. is when America was forming. America was just forming and the colonies were coming together. And some people weren't into that.
Like, yeah.
They weren't quite into the whole government and what America's fighting for. Well, pre-America. This is pre-American
like,
Revolution.
You're still under British rule.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but the American colonies.
Yeah.
So a lot of them did drift south and found themselves in this pirate land.
Yeah.
So that's how a lot of them kind of got together.
Yeah. And it's kind of like any new thing, right? Like new phase of life, new era, because it's like no one knows what to do at first. Like you come all the way over to the Americas. Maybe it's not quite what you thought. Maybe it's more desolate. Maybe it's more lonely. Maybe your ship gets hijacked by pirates mm-hmm. and they're like, hey, you have a choice. Join us or, you know, we're going to maroon you on an island. Like there's a million reasons why you could kind of fall into piracy.
Yeah.
And if you're at a point where you're maybe, again, not super set in a specific lifestyle, it is appealing because mm-hmm. you're like, wow, they just kind of get to sail around. They port where they just drink and they have fun. And once they're on the sea, they take other ships and they get all this gold and plunder. And then
and
they just.
Rum.
Yeah, more rum and they amass new ships. Like it's an exciting lifestyle. And if you've already come this far, like you've already sailed to the Americas, you've already left your homeland of England or whatever country you come from, like this is, hey, why not? Like this yeah. is exciting, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. I don't know what I would compare that to today. Like, it's not
going off to college.
I don't know if you want to like go to Hollywood or LA and start this new life, but not really. Like, but
a little
then you
bit,
kind of,
yeah.
but then you have these big dreams, but then you accidentally somehow slip into the wrong path. And before you know it,
yes.
you're like in the party scene and gets a little hardcore and you're like, oh, I guess this is where my life took me.
Yeah, that's a good example, actually. It's like you go maybe to Hollywood and you're like, well, I'm going to be an actor and I'm going to take this serious and I'm going to rent a small studio and have an honest job and take these auditions. And then you get there and you're like, wait, I could just like party with like D-list celebrities for a little bit and like
do some
illicit activity.
Some illegal things and
some illegal things up my nose.
Have a fun time with life.
Yeah, and then in 5 years, you're like, I guess it didn't work out, whatever. And you move back home to
and
Iowa.
You either die or you go back to Iowa.
It's true. Tale as old as time.
Or it's the same. Who knows?
So imagine that setting, but here in the Caribbean in the early 1700s.
Spring break, 1730.
Yeah. So back to Calico Jack. So he is with this crew that has recently robbed ships outside of New York.
Robbed shit
from ships in New York. And when they're done, like, with all this plunder of these New York vessels, they encounter this very large French ship. And Vane, at the time, who's the captain, remember Charles Vane? Mm-hmm. So Charles Vane sees this giant French ship that's twice the size as his. And he's like, all right, men, retreat. Like, we're not going to beat this ship. We gotta get out of here. And only 15 of his 91 men on the ship actually supported that. They're like, yep, he's right. Captain's correct. Like, we can't take on the ship. Let's just go. Let's just outrun them. Yes,
that's
Megan.
Roughly 15%.
Roughly, yes. A little bit higher because it's 91. Okay. But so Calico Jack is on board. Again, he's the quartermaster of this crew. And he speaks up and he suggests, no, like, let's take them on. Let's fight. And that's a big ship. They're going to have a lot of gold, a lot of resources, maybe, I don't know, sugar, tobacco, like whatever the hot resources were of the day. You know, and if we do take them, we have their men to also be a part of our crew and we could take their ship. It's like, what's wrong? Let's go. So the rest of the crew, again, roughly 90%, 80%, they're behind Jack and they're like, absolutely, let's do it. But in this age, it's not a democracy on the ship. It's a piratocracy. Okay.
Is that a word?
No.
Oh.
Probably not.
Dang it. That would have been a cool word.
I was thinking
of piratocity.
I was thinking of Bring It On where she's like, it's not a democracy, it's a cheerocracy. I'm overruling you. No?
God. Yes.
Speaking of Mean Girls and Bring It On, we're just giving you a whole new era of
seeing a whole new side to Elizabeth here.
Anyway, so they say, like, no, Captain's word is final. So Vane wins this discussion and they retreat. But then not shortly after, at this point, it's November 24th, 1718, Jack kind of assembles the men and calls for a vote. And he's like, hey, we just witnessed Vane being a coward. Mm. Like, he didn't take on this battle. We could have had that ship. You know, we need to do something about this. So he, in a very democratic way, got everyone together and he had a vote. He's like, who wants this guy as captain still? And Vane was ousted. They're like, sorry, Vane, you're not brave. Like, you're not the pirate we want. We want someone who's willing to fight for the things that we want. So they oust him, which wasn't terrible. It's not like they killed him or did anything crazy. They actually gave him a small ship of their fleet. They gave him, like, ammunition and goods. The 15 people who supported him, like, went with him.
That was nice of them because they could have just, like, thrown him overboard.
They could have, like, made him walk the plank. They could have killed everyone who supported him.
Yeah, but they actually... With guns and ships. Mm-hmm. Hamilton song.
Oh, good. Yeah.
How many times did you think of Muppet Treasure Island through this?
I'm not going to discuss that.
Sorry.
I'm a big...
Trigger warning.
Yeah. Side note, Robbie didn't like that movie. I tried to make him watch it. Yeah.
I just lost that much more respect.
It's okay. Yeah.
And him.
You know.
Just, it's hard to do because he's such a good guy, but like a sliver.
Oh, no. Big respect for me. Like levels.
I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, Muppet Treasure Island is a golden piece and it's a masterpiece.
We almost dressed as Rizzo's friends for this episode.
That would have been funny.
Anyway, so again, he sends Vane off with his supporters on this tiny ship and says, you go be free, little bird. So now Calico Jack is captain. Mm-hmm. And really quick, just to get like explain why he's called Calico Jack, obviously his birth name is John.
Jack,
that's like a typical nickname. But Calico comes from his very like flamboyant dress that he started wearing. So he wore these big coats that were very colorful and like very beautiful patterns. I think calico is like a textile from India. Mm-hmm. So it was like this nice, thick, like durable, but very kind of plain cotton. I don't know if it's cotton, but whatever. Whatever material it is, cotton. It's calico.
I mean, that's like Captain Hook image, like the red.
Right. Like classic, bright colors.
Mm-hmm. Bright red pirate coat.
Yes. So I think, again, that's a lot of like what conjures up that image when you think of a pirate. You're like, oh, like Captain Hook, red coat. Like, mm-hmm. Calico Jack kind of wore that. That's what he looked like to a lot of his crew. So once he became captain, he wasn't exactly sure what to do next. His big whole move was just, like, getting Vane out of there. And then he was like, well, now what? So they really just took on a lot of small vessels. Like, they stayed around the Jamaica area, specifically Kingston. And they just took a bunch of small ships. Like, they kind of just hung out around the shoreline and took whatever like weak pickings they could. Eventually they do take this boat called the Kingston, which is another like larger vessel that becomes their flagship ship. And then they also like make way to Bermuda and take some larger ships there. So they're amassing quite a nice little fleet.
They're in Bermuda, Jamaica.
Ooh, I wanna take you
to Bermuda,
Bahama.
Come on, my pretty mom. Am I saying Bermuda? I can never say that word.
Bermuda.
Bermuda. Yeah. Bermuda.
This is a fun fact. So if you know the Beach Boys song that Megan was just singing, apparently right after that song came out, like a bunch of people went to their travel agents and were like, oh, I want to go to Kokomo. And like Kokomo is a fictional place. Like it's not real.
They're like, well, we'll just go. Like, okay, we're going to go to Aruba, Jamaica.
And then we'll take it to Bermuda. And they're like, we just want to end up in Kokomo. And travel agents had to explain to people, like, Kokomo's not real.
Oh, how sad.
I know.
I mean, we very admittedly, before this, we had to, like, reference a map just to make sure we had our bearings straight. Because yeah. We all kind of, like, hear these names and islands, but yeah. To actually know the geographic. So so there's Cuba.
Yeah, you go ahead.
There's Cuba, yeah. And just north of that is the Bahamas.
Yep.
South of that is Jamaica, and that's where Port Royal is. We'll get into that a little bit more.
Yes, Port Royal's in Jamaica.
It's in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And then there, Hispaniola. No?
Hispaniola.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's basically, like, modern, part of Haiti now.
Modern-day Haiti.
Yeah.
And the Dominican Republic.
And, yeah. And there is where Tortuga was, which, of course, yeah. Parts of the Caribbean, I've all heard of Tortuga. So that's, like, another pirate convention center area. And then Puerto Rico is like a little bit west of that.
Southeast.
Yeah. So anyways, it's kind of like, oh, and then there's also, what is it? The
British Virgin Islands. British,
yeah, and the Turks and Caicos. Yeah. All the places you want to go vacation and have a lovely Mai Tai and some coconut shrimp. Yeah. Have a little dance party.
Mai Tai is more Hawaiian, but we'll take it. Maybe Bahama Mama.
Bahama Mama.
yeah, and that's what's funny is, again, even that we're from North America, but, like, I don't know the Caribbean area that much. We did have to look at a map because I was like, okay, let's just get our bearings
here. I've never been, and I would love to.
I've only been to Miami. I've never been south.
Go get our travel itineraries.
We did say, we're like, we do want to go to, like, the UK, you know, maybe every 2 years. So maybe we just include the British Virgin Islands in that.
I think it's in the same family. Genre. Yeah, British Virgin Isles. Yeah. I can never say. British Virgin Isles. Islands. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go there.
She's dry January.
I'm clearly better off with wine than I am sober.
I'm kidding.
Can't talk. I can never talk.
Anyway, so just to wrap up that. So they started amassing these ships. But in February 1719, the Kingston, their flagship ship, was taken by bounty hunters in Port Royal.
Aww.
I know. So then they did gain another, like, English, what was it called? The sloops?
The sloop.
Yeah.
A sloop. It's a type of boat.
It's a type of boat. So they got this other English sloop. And then they finally sailed to Nassau in the Bahamas. Because at this time, there's this new governor in Nassau named Governor Woods Rogers. And he was sent from Britain to essentially get control of the pirate situation. So like we said, like Britain had kind of just let it happen. They knew piracy was happening and they're like, we just don't know what to do.
Get these pirates under control.
Yeah. So they sent this like kind of hard-nosed governor who was like, okay, he's going to have a plan for what to do with the pirates. He's going to be very strict on them. So the first thing that they decided to do is actually kind of counterintuitive, but they were like, let's just pardon all of the pirates.
Kind of fair.
Right?
Like, you had your fun.
Yeah. Like, all right, guys, like, boys will be boys. You did your thing. Let's all just call it quits. We're pardoning you. You're going to stop pirating. Everything's cool.
Well, and it was funny how he did it because it was a specific date. He said,
yeah,
I will pardon any acts of piracy up until January 5th, 1719. Mm-hmm. Anything after that, you can be convicted and tried and whatever.
And hanged.
And hanged and all of that.
Yeah.
But basically, he's exactly your point. Like, he let them have their fun, mm-hmm. but he promised them, if you come within the next year, anytime between now up until January 5th, and you, like, surrender and you admit that you've been a pirate, like, no tricks, no traps. You're not – this yeah. isn't, like, a cuckold. You're going to – where I'm actually going to give you my blessing and pardon you and be like, okay, but don't do it again.
Yeah.
And then go find a new career.
Exactly.
Which, good luck.
Exactly. So Calico Jack and his crew decide to go there to get pardoned. And who knows if that was their actual intention or if it was more just a facade so people could get off of their trail. But they go there, they get pardoned, and they claim, they're like, you know, we wouldn't have been pirates, but that damn Charles Vane, the previous captain, he forced us into piracy.
You know, the one that we then overthrew and then we became, like, Jack became the pirate.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but it worked out in their favor because the governor hated Charles Vane. So he's like, he very much saw them as the victims. He's like, oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I see that happening.
Right.
You are pardoned, and I'm so sorry that you had to go through those trials and tribulations.
Exactly. And
terrible.
Vane actually had attacked a ship that the governor was on before. Mm-hmm. So, like, the governor knew him. He knew he attacked him. So he totally believed this whole bit of, like, yeah, he forced you. I get it. He's evil.
Right.
So they're pardoned. They're hanging out in the Bahamas.
They're in Nassau, is that how you say it? Nassau?
I think it's Nassau.
Nassau.
Because I think there's a county in New York that's also called Nassau. They say it different in the British accent, but
N-A-S-S-A-U.
Yeah.
But it's in the Bahamas, right?
Yeah.
He's chilling. He's having a good time. So good, in fact, he meets a lovely woman.
Ooh.
I'm sure a lot of us have heard of this name. Her name is Anne Bonny.
Bonny Lass.
The Bonny Lass. And she is married. She's the wife of James Bonny, or Jim Bonny. Mm-hmm. And James is employed by Governor Rogers, the guy who just gave him the pardon. So he's kind of his buddy.
Like, informant.
They're all in the same circle together.
Mm-hmm.
Jack has a full-on affair with Anne.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets caught.
Yeah.
And of course, it's the woman's fault, right?
So, obviously.
So her husband, James, orders her for a public whipping. Well, he finds out he wants her to get whipped. And the governor agrees to it and, like, sentences her to a public whipping for adultery.
Yeah.
Like, let's teach this woman a lesson
here. Right, right.
And Jack, of course, wants to save his Bonny Lass. So he tries to negotiate with James. And he wants to basically buy her.
Yeah,
he wants
this is weird.
A divorce by purchase.
Yeah.
So his intentions is he wants to pay James to legally divorce his wife so Jack can swoop in and take her.
Exactly.
And James isn't having this. And in fact, because he's buddies with the governor, now the governor's pissed off at Jack too.
Mm-hmm.
So they very much took sides on this.
Right.
Anne decides to just screw the whole situation. She runs away. She
yeah.
runs away with Jack. So they now have to flee their location in Nassau, the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
and they're on the run, basically.
They just take a ship and they go.
They just go.
Yeah.
Because he is now on the governor's bad side over this whole situation, like, he must have really have liked Anne Bonny to do this.
I think so.
His pardon got voided for him and his whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
So they're back to the pirate life. Now they're really on the run because they're past now the date of being able to get pardoned because this was all in December of 2018. 2018.
17. I went along with it. It's like, yeah.
Yes.
2018 mm-hmm. yep, is when yep, they yep, pardoned yep, the pirates.
Yep. No, 1718. So this was right at the – look, I do love this about Jack.
Yeah.
He waited until the last minute for his fun and games of piracy until December. November, December, right, is when he finally, like, made port. But
he's like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm
so anyways,
ready.
He missed the window, and now he's a full-blown pirate by law – illegally and not doing so great.
Yeah.
So
September 1720, Governor Rogers issues a proclamation that Jack is officially a pirate again.
Cool.
Yeah, and he's kind of like free reign, right? It's like reward signs posted, like whoever can go get him, go get him.
Yeah.
But we're going to take an interesting little path here because we have to introduce two new characters, which one we already did.
So we have Anne Bonny.
Anne Bonny.
And another woman comes into the mix, although no one knows it at first.
No.
Mary Read.
Yeah.
If these names are familiar, if there's this little light bulb flickering in your brain, like Anne Bonny and Mary Read, where have we heard those names? Of course, they're two famous female pirates.
Yes.
But our favorite is, if you notice, in the line at Pirates of the Caribbean.
At Disneyland.
At Disneyland. Is it in all the Disney attractions?
I don't remember seeing it at Disney World. Those of you that are more familiar with Disney World can correct
us. Or Paris or Tokyo.
I don't remember seeing it there either.
You've been all of them. I don't know.
I think it's only a few.
I think it's only at Disneyland.
I think so.
So when you're in the queue for the line, mm-hmm. there's a painting on the wall. Like there's a bunch of famous pirates that they kind of paint around and they have Anne Bonny and Mary Read. Like... looking very beautiful. And
they look like 1950s pinups.
Voluptuous, yeah. Like arm in arm, and it has their names underneath. But right. Anyways, that's where I first recognized their names. And maybe I'm a total idiot if my references are Disneyland, but
whatever. Pardon me. Sorry, Disneyland educates me.
Clearly it does.
All right, so we'll go a little bit into the background of Anne Bonny first. Okay. And then we'll mention a bit about Mary, and then we'll kind of resume with the storyline that we have going. So Anne Bonny was born in Ireland, and she was the daughter of a lawyer named William Cormack. So he actually – he didn't have a child with his wife. He actually had Anne because Anne's mother was his servant. Mm-hmm. So William had this servant, Mary Brennan, who, while his wife was away, he started thinking of fondly and they started getting very close. And she bore his illegitimate kid. The wife was always very suspecting of Mary, the servant. So, like, it's rumored that at one point she actually, like, got in Mary's bed. The wife did. Mm-hmm. And kind of, like, just, like, waited to see, like, okay, if he is actually having an affair with the servant, he will come in this room and he will, like, you know, try
slide
to...
slide in
yeah,
next
like,
to her.
Yeah, like, slink into the sheets. And sure enough, what does he do? He comes in the room and he slinks into the sheets. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I knew it. Like, this very dramatic soap opera kind of thing. Like, oh,
it's
I knew...
oh, God, it's you.
My wife. So caught in the act, we think. But either way, he tries to, like, move away from his wife, even though they're still together. Mm-hmm. So they move to London, and he's still trying to hide the fact that he has an illegitimate child. So even though he moves his house servant with him, Mary, uh-huh. all the way to London, he, like, dresses up Anne Bonny, this young child, like, as a boy. Because he doesn't want any questions. He doesn't want anyone to question the legitimacy.
Oh, because you can clearly, like, you can't have a female illegitimate child. If you have a little bastard,
well,
that's okay.
He made the son look like a relative. Yeah. Like it wasn't
Or, like, his.
His
little apprentice or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and he literally gave him, like, a tiny little, like, clerical job at his law firm to be like, okay. No, you're just a little lawyer buddy, and, like, you're my... Who knows what relative he claimed he was. So he, like...
dressed Anne.
Yeah, but it's Anne Bonny this whole time. She was known to be very fiery, like, from a young age. She even, like, stabbed another servant with a knife when she was young. Like, she yeah. was very devious.
This girl.
Yeah.
Watch out.
But at the end of it, like, he never actually, like, established himself as a new and legitimate lawyer in this new town. So their life kind of just, like, fell apart at that point. Like, Mary, the servant, died, Anne's mother. And then once Anne was grown up enough to, like, make her own decision, she wanted to marry the sailor, James Bonny.
Oh, so many Marys.
I know. This is marriage, Mary. So she brings, like, James to her father, William, and she's like, okay, I found the man I want to marry. Like, this is him. He's like, he's a poor sailor. Like, you know, William has enough prestige to know that this is not a good match. So he rejects the marriage and says, no, you can't marry this poor sailor. So she decides to, like, run away with James anyway. And he essentially says, okay, you run away. I disown you. So he disowned Anne Bonny. And it's rumored, we don't know how much truth there is to this, but it's rumored that when she left, she set her father's plantation on fire.
Yeah. This girl. Yeah. She's fiery.
Whether she did that or not, the fact that there's even a rumor that you did that means you're kind of crazy.
There's something behind it. Like, yeah. maybe if it was just a little spark, or maybe she, like, threatened it, or yeah. maybe, you know, like, caught the curtain on fire, then, like, they got, but it came from somewhere.
Came from somewhere.
No one, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you. So that's Anne Bonny.
Yes. And just really quick. So once she is married to James, like, he wants to move to the Bahamas to start a new life there. And
sounds great.
I know, and serve the new governor there. So he moves her to the Bahamas. And once she gets to the Bahamas, like, you know, she realized, like, okay, I just had this kind of exciting ordeal where I ran away with this man and this is supposed to be it.
Yeah.
But she's fiery. She gets bored very fast. And so she starts going to the taverns and hanging out with pirates.
And there's hot pirates coming and through town. And
there's hot pirates. There's new pirates every week. Like, she's excited, you know. And that's when she finally meets Jack. And when she does meet Jack again, they go on their, like, whirlwind romance. And, again, he tries to buy her and all of that. But once she's a part of his crew is when she meets Mary.
Okay. Yeah. I know more about Mary.
Go ahead with Mary. Also, really quick, Mary and Anne.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Okay, Mary Read.
Yes.
I do know about Mary.
Yes.
I don't know where she was born or where she grew up.
Probably,
I'm assuming England.
Yeah.
She has a very different story, but she did also, she was raised having to wear boys' clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Very different reason, though.
Yes.
So her mother had a son already.
Yeah.
And the grandmother was giving inheritance and money to the son.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband dies, and she had another illegitimate child, Mary, and the mother didn't want to know that this other girl existed.
Right.
She also didn't want to stop the funds coming through from the grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So she somehow pulled this off where she convinced the grandmother that this daughter was the same boy.
This is my son.
Like, I'm sure maybe she was blind, or she just didn't see her in person.
Or, like, enough time had passed in between them growing up that she was like, yeah, this is the boy I told you about.
I told you I had the boy. Yeah. Here's the boy.
Yeah.
So she dressed Mary Read up in mm-hmm. boy's clothing.
Right.
Just to try to get the money from the grandmother to convince her that she had only one son.
It's wild.
It's such a weird story.
I know.
You know what? They didn't have internet.
No.
Photos.
Facebook.
They didn't have Facebook or even MySpace.
No MySpace, no Twitter.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess they kind of pulled it off.
They did.
Eventually, Mary, you know, she grows up. She gets married. She opens up an inn with her husband. And she works at the inn with her husband up until he dies.
Mm-hmm.
After he dies, she, I think, really enjoyed the masculinity and the respect and everything that she got while cross-dressing as a boy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Mulan-ish type story.
A little bit, yeah.
She ends up joining the military.
Yeah.
Dressed as a man.
Which is wild.
The ship that she was on in the military was conveniently taken over mm-hmm. by Calico Jack.
Right.
With Anne Bonny there.
Yep.
She claims that she may have been forced to join the crew, but
she probably liked it.
She was like, hey, sure. These guys know how to have fun.
Yeah, like, they like to drink and party, and they like violence, and so do I.
Yeah.
So she literally jumped ship.
She jumped, the term jump ship in the most literal way here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's still dressing as a man, and she's trying to convince the whole crew, probably, you know, obviously for her own safety purposes also.
Yeah, you don't want to be the only woman on an all-male drunken pirate crew.
Also, side note, there was a superstition that having a woman on the ship was bad luck.
Right.
For example, Blackbeard, he really stuck to that rule, and he refused to have any woman on the ship for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I know, not to keep mentioning Pirates of the Caribbean, but it's a great reference point. They didn't get everything so wrong.
Right.
They also mentioned that, like, oh, she can't step foot on the ship, it's bad luck, and all of
Even
that.
Even a miniature one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Even a miniature one.
And really quick, too, so, like, again, when Anne and Mary meet each other, they both don't know the other one's a woman.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're so convincingly dressed in men's clothing, they're dirty, they're pirates, like, they don't know.
Yeah, because Anne Bonny's also dressed as a man.
Right.
Even though she's hinky-pinking with Jack.
Yeah.
Mary Read is dressed as a man.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to pick up on that.
I think they had slowly picked up subtle signs that only women can pick up with each other. Obviously, they noticed, oh, you're a bit more feminine. Maybe you're a bit more attractive. And more it actually.
Voluptuous.
Yeah, like your bosom's a bit
maybe
fuller.
Maybe she asks her for a maxi pad one day. Who knows?
She's like, oh, no, it's my lady cycle and I'm without my items.
I got no tampons on me. You got anything in?
So eventually it comes out between just the two ladies that they are in fact women. Mm-hmm. And they held each other to such secrecy that it wasn't until Jack got suspicious, like Calico Jack got suspicious of Anne Bonny because he was like, hey, why do you like that pirate so much?
They were spending a lot of time because they, of course, like as the only women, they become best friends. And yeah. They're spending a lot of time together. And what else is he supposed to think? What an idiot, right? Like he doesn't notice it's a woman.
Exactly. So he gets very jealous of this quote unquote, like man, like young man who's on his ship flirting with his lover. And he finally confronts her. He's like, hey, like, is there something going on, you know, with this guy? And she's like, I got to tell you, like, the guy is a girl. His name's Mary. We're best friends. He's like, oh, that's fine.
There is some say of perhaps Mary and Anne had more than just a friendship.
Perhaps, yeah.
There's also talk that once Jack discovered who Mary was, that perhaps the three of them had more than just a friendship.
Right, perhaps it was a thruple.
Yeah, you know what? They mm-hmm. were pirates. They lived by their own drinking ways a of lot. Life. They did not do Dry January, and they were not sad and
boring.
Dry. So they just did what they wanted to do. And, you know, I don't know what side of the fence you're on. I think it's plausible.
Well, here's the reason why I think it might be plausible. And we'll get to this now that we're kind of summing up the story a bit. But at the end of the day, like once all the pirates were taken in, mm-hmm. and we'll get to this, Mary claims she's pregnant.
No.
And who else would impregnate her?
And there are a lot of dudes on this ship. Yeah. And they're making port a lot.
They are making port. So maybe when she was, you know, dropped anchor at a tavern,
maybe she dropped her anchor a little too hard.
You know, maybe she let loose a little bit. But, you know, she always claimed that she never had relations with anyone on the ship. But at the end of the story, she does end up pregnant. So someone impregnated her.
I don't think Anne did that.
Anne did not do that.
So take that for what it is.
So we'll get to how they were actually captured.
So at this point, we're going back to October 31st, 1720.
Yep.
There is a bounty hunters. They were also called pirate hunters.
I like that.
This would be a cool movie. I guess they did that as a series by Disney. Of people catching pirates, but like...
Pirate hunters?
I don't know. Wasn't there like... I guess maybe not. I don't know. I was trying to think in the storyline if people were chasing after Jack Sparrow and they were kind of like bounty hunters.
Anyways, it's kind of
a cool job. So the governor puts this task. There's a reward for them. There's a warrant out for them. Mm-hmm. He knows that they are doing bad business out on the seas. The pardon was voided. So they sent out the bounty hunters. The pirate hunters.
Right. So the bounty hunters' names were Jonathan Barnett and Jean Bonadivis.
Sounds French.
Right? It looks French to me.
Lafayette.
Jean Bonadivis. So they were the ones who were mainly pursuing Calico Jack. So by Halloween, October 31st, 1720, Jonathan and Jean discover Jack and his crew, like, kind of just set up shop, like, ported it at somewhere in Jamaica. I'm not mm-hmm. exactly sure where. So, of course, as soon as, like, they see each other, who are on the deck that are, like, trying to rally the troops to come forward and fight the pirate hunters? The women. Like, Mary and Anne are there saying, all right, crew, like, here they are. They're here to get us. Like, we know what comes next. Like, fight to the death. Let's go.
They're the ones with all the courage.
And the men are literally either too drunk from the night before or too scared because they're all just, like, hanging out below deck.
We're good. They're like, this might just, you know what? We've had a good run.
Right.
Supposedly, some of them did drop sores, and they're just like, nah, I ain't got it in me tonight.
So only the women were there trying to, like, get people to fight. Everyone else just kind of turned over, and they exchanged some cannon fire. Like, one guy was like, all right, he had one of those, like, swivel cannons and shot at the pirate hunters. but they weren't really putting up much of a fight. Mm-mm. It was like some shots exchanged, nothing really that intentional. The women were trying to rally everybody, and no one did anything.
Even Jack eventually surrendered, and mm-hmm. he just saw it as a loss, and he dropped his weapons, and he's like, yep, I think the jig is up.
Yeah.
And at that point, they got real fired up, so much so that I think it was Anne. The actually, women, yeah. She took her pistol, because they're up on the top deck, and everyone else is hiding down below. She takes her pistol, and she shoots down below, and actually ends up killing one of the crew members, one of their own pirates.
Good, coward.
But it was just to, like, wake him up, like, boys, get up here. We're not gonna. And I don't know if you have the actual quote, but she's calling them cowards and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And ye men, come hither, and all of that. So,
right.
It is. I love this turn of events where it's the badass two women who are there to fight till the end.
Exactly.
But they do get caught. They, you know, they went in with high confidence and thought that they could do it. But unfortunately, Jack was kind of right. The army was just too big for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were caught and arrested. So now we're in November, right? And they're in the Spanish town, and this is where they have their trial, and they are convicted of piracy.
Exactly. So the day is November 18th, 1720, and they execute by hanging Calico Jack. Mm-hmm. So they decide to make his a little bit more public because he is the captain, right? So after the hanging, they actually put him in a gibbet, which we talked about with William Kidd.
Not a gibbet. But a gibbet.
Gibbet. It's like one of those cages that kind of fits around your human form. And they put you in there so that way, like, not only is your body just decomposing there, but you can get, like, pecked at by seagulls and things.
And we saw a gibbet.
We did. We went to the William Kidd Bar in London. We had such a good time at that bar. And just seeing where he actually had his little pub crawl and where he was hanged was so cool. Wild.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was in London, so this is the Caribbean. Maybe we got to go there.
Wait, I forget. We actually didn't see the gibbet and we were mad. We just saw like a news. It was a hanging news.
More for show.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't like the news. But right. I got a kick out of it.
Still enjoyed that. So he was gibbeted and put on display on this small, like, islet in the main entrance of Port Royal in Jamaica. And now it's known as Rackham's Cage.
I like that.
Not cage. K. Sorry.
K?
K. C-A-Y.
What's that?
Like a bay.
It's not a bay. It's a K.
It's a K.
I've never heard that
It's
word.
Like a bay, K, what do you call it? Not, what am I?
A little inlet.
Like, yeah, it's like an inlet, like a little body of water.
Okay. I've never heard of that term.
You've heard of like.
The Cayman Islands.
Okay. Yeah. Like K is a very tropical, like, okay. It's a K.
Cool. Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. But he had a large crowd. We don't have so much about the actual details of his hanging. No. I'm sure it was just like by the book.
Right.
You know, seems pretty straightforward.
He was roughly 37 years old.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Anne and Mary were also tried and convicted of piracy, and they were also sentenced to death.
But
this is not their execution story.
Right.
Conveniently, as Elizabeth mentioned, they both said they were pregnant. Do we know by the same man? Maybe.
Right.
We don't know. Were they all the same time along? We don't know. It's possible.
Do we know if they were even pregnant? That could be an easy way for a woman to get out of anything. Right.
Exactly. We know for sure, funny enough, that Mary was pregnant because she actually does end up giving birth in April. So let's see. Let's do math. If that was in November... December, January, February, March,
like 6
April,
months.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fair. She was probably like 4 months pregnant then when she was arrested.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So she actually does give birth in jail. Kind of nice, I guess they don't hang her in that state. But unfortunately, she died from fever after the birth in April 1721.
Exactly. And Anne... We don't know what happened to Anne.
No one knows. She is a mystery of what happened to her, which is kind of cool, I guess, in a way.
There is no record of her execution at all, and there's no record that she was released or that she died in prison.
Or that she escaped.
Or that she left. So people, like, generally have the theory that because she did have her previous husband, right, mm-hmm. Bonnie, mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. was connected with the governor, like, maybe at the end of this whole thing, they decided, okay, like, either go back to your husband or, like, let's find you a place to live and raise your child. Maybe they snuck her away to the American colonies. Like, nobody really knows what actually happened to her, but there we just know that there was no record of an execution or death or escape.
I read in
she
one,
was just simply gone.
Yeah, I read in one article that they thought maybe she lived into her 80s just under a different pseudonym.
Yeah.
Continued on doing her thing. I did want to mention, though, really quick, I thought this was kind of funny and cute and maybe not a little sassy of Anne. So when right before Calico Jack was being executed, his final wish was to see Anne one last time.
Of course.
And we have documented the last thing that she said to him.
I love this.
And it was, "If you had fought like a man, you need not have been hanged like a dog."
Yeah.
That's I good. Just want to say that in an Irish accent, but I don't want to ruin it. We should have Siri ask to
we're
say that
say
for
we'll
us.
Have like an AI version of that.
That's so cool. If you had fought like a man, you need not have been hanged like a dog.
Yeah. That's a badass thing to say.
Sassy. But yeah, mm-hmm. she was a little pistol and we don't know what happened to her. I'd like to envision her like breaking free and living the rest of her days and
what if she
drinking on the beach?
What if she became a pirate again under like another male's yeah, name?
As possible. What know? If like
she's Blackbeard?
She's yeah. What if like or she's William Kidd?
She's William Kidd.
Twisting the story here, and we all come full circle. No, we don't know. We don't know.
She's too fiery, in my opinion, to just have lived quietly for the rest of her life somewhere.
Yeah.
Like maybe if she had a kid, she would do it for the kid to be like, all right, like, I'm going to raise this child and figure out what I want to do. But, like, she, given just her past, yeah. everything she's been through, how unsatisfied she is with just, like, leading a content, normal life, it leads me to believe that, like, she went off in another identity and did something crazy.
Yeah, she's not stupid. She was smart.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, the overall impression of Captain Calico Jack. Mm-hmm. He, we've already kind of talked about he's very much, like, the cliche red coat. Our pirate.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I'm allowed one pirate joke.
Oh, tell your pirate episode. Joke. Go ahead.
What is a pirate's favorite letter in the alphabet?
Oh, Megan. R.
We're more in love with the sea.
Oh my God. You're okay. More in love with the sea. I get it.
Anywho, good the one, overlasting, like the legacy of Calico Jack. This one we cannot confirm, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Is that his flag was the Jolly Roger.
Like the Jolly Roger flag that we all think of. Like the black sail, white skull, white swords crossed. Like that's the Jolly Roger flag. And some people say that he created that. Like he invented that. That's the flag that he lifted when he sailed.
He sailed with the Jolly Roger. And like, I mean, gosh, even there's an emoji of that. So he did pretty good for himself.
I use that emoji a lot with you. I feel like I send you a lot of pirate emojis.
You know what's funny? My team at work, too, whenever, like, I send requests via a chat, they all kind of, like, acknowledge by, like, adding the pirate flag. And I don't know what that means.
I don't think that's a good sign, man.
Like, I captain.
No, I think it's more of like a fuck you, I'm a pirate.
I don't know. I just take it. I'm like, as long as you're acknowledging this has been read, thank you. And it was a like reply with the flag.
Interesting. I don't know why. Ooh, is that some Gen Z thing we don't know? Like Gen Zs tell you like, know. No, I'm not doing that with the pirate
know.
Flag?
I think it's funny.
Interesting.
And then do you want to talk a little bit about like what happened with everyone else?
There's nothing else I really want to say about the rest of the crew.
Never mind.
I simply want to acknowledge like the names of the people that were executed because at the end of the day, you know, this is beheaded. We talk about mm-hmm. all executions. We don't want to leave anyone out. So while we don't know much about these folks right now, I just want to name their names. And
yeah,
kind
it wasn't
of a,
just Jack. They all kind of went down
exactly.
together.
Exactly, yeah. So there are some men who, whether they were crew members or just were simply drinking with...
that sucks.
they could have just been out on the town with Calico Jack. They were tried and convicted of piracy, and on the 24th of January, 1721, they were also executed. So there is John Eaton, Thomas Quick, Thomas Baker. They were all executed at Gallows Point in Port Royal.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, not cool, but, you know.
Sweet.
Things we're into on this show.
And then quickly after, John Cole, John Howard, and Benjamin Palmer were also executed at Kingston.
Okay.
So just a little bit about his crew and where they went. Because, again, a lot of them relied on him for – they wanted the violence and the – and the pirate's life for me type of thing.
The ship's master who went down was George Featherston. Mm-hmm. Their quartermaster was Richard Corner. Huh, that's kind of cute. Quartermaster. Richard Corner.
Cute.
Okay, John Davis, John Howell, they were all executed along with Jack Rackham in Port Royal too. Mm-hmm. And then there were a few others the next day because they like to space it out, not, you know, don't give the people what they want all at once.
Exactly.
Patrick Carty, Thomas Earl, James Dobbin, Noah Harwood. What a nice name. Noah
Harwood. These are all like actor names.
Noah Harwood.
Oh,
dashing. Like an actor.
Dashing fellow. He was executed at Kingston.
I like his name. See him as a kind of like a ruffian with like a beard and.
But he looks like Henry Cavill.
Yes.
Could be. So we just want to acknowledge some of his crew members. Again, he probably had way more crew members than that, but these are some of the notable names that were executed either alongside him or soon after. But again, whether or not he was a great pirate, who knows? He only was on the map for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's impressive that he is so famous and he only was like – he only – to our knowledge, was a very big pirate or captain for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
But
that's
a lot of people argue that the reason for his fame, too, is because of the two women, because of Anne and
I think Mary. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he would have had such an exciting story if it was not for Anne and Mary.
Right.
It was so rare, not just to have a woman on a pirate ship, but to have a woman fighting with pistols and axes and actually a part of the violence. That is super rare.
Yeah, and rallying all the drunken men to fight.
Yeah, and supposedly not getting pregnant by any of them.
Sure. Immaculate.
But it did work in their favor when they had to go to the gallows.
I know.
So. Okay, well, Elizabeth, for your final words.
Yep.
Before you walk the plank.
Oh, I'm walking the plank tonight?
Yes. I think it's more for me. Oh. I didn't do my best in this episode.
No, so. You did fine. You just need some more wine to calm you down.
Yeah, so I'm going to make you walk the plank for that reason.
Oh.
Do you have any final cheesy pirate jokes for us?
I have one for you.
Ooh, I love it.
Okay. How did the pirate get his Jolly Roger so cheaply?
He showed his booty.
Oh, well, that's pretty good.
Is that not it?
He got it on sale.
The booty works too.
The booty does work.
My heart is pierced by Cupid, my disdain all glittering gold. There is nothing can console me but my jolly sailor bold. His hair it hangs in ringlets, his eyes as black as coal. My happiness attend him wherever he may go. From tower hill to black wall, I'll wander, weep, and moan. All for my jolly sailor until he sails home. My heart is pierced by Cupid, I disdain all glittering gold. There is nothing can console me but my jolly sailor bold. My father is a merchant, the truth I now will tell. And in great London city, in opulence doth dwell. His fortune doth exceed 300,000 gold. And he frowns upon his daughter, who loves a sailor bold. A fig for his riches, his merchandise and gold. True love has grafted my heart, give me my sailor bold.